Sabbath blessings and greetings, one and all. Welcome to our main church service on this Sabbath day of September 20, 2014. And we also extend a hearty Sabbath greetings to those listening on the phone and to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio and to those that are listening to the recording. And we appreciate you choosing to fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters on God's memorial of His creationary power. And not just in creating this world, but also in creating each one of us into His image and granting us the life of Christ. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, How Sweet Are the Tidings. And the lyrics can be found at our website at lightministries.com/ID1911.htm. How sweet are the tidings that greet the pilgrim's ear as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. The mossy old graves where the pilgrims sleep shall be opened as wide as before. And the millions that sleep in the mighty deep shall live on this earth once more. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. There will needs ne'er to part in our happy Eden home, sweet songs of redemption will sing. From the north, from the south, all the ransomed shall come and worship our heavenly King. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah again. Soon, if faithful, we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful till then, and a crown of thy glory will wear. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know, coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Dear ones, don't wait until the Savior comes to reign, but allow Him now to reign in your heart. And then you will indeed have that crown of bright glory to wear. I ask that you please bow your knees and your heads for opening prayer to today's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name for thy merciful kindness and tender love, for making possible our salvation. We give you full and complete control of today's service, and we pray that you will be here in our midst to allow the light, the glorious atmosphere, the love and the joy and the happiness of heaven to be brought down and become part of us here. Take control of this meeting and take control of our lives, Father. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray that the presence of our Savior will be here in our midst, and that his bright beams of righteousness will dispel the hold of wickedness and sin upon us, that these shackles can be broken and removed from us, and that we can indeed be set free in him. We also plead for the Holy Spirit to be an abiding guest with each one. And please, dear Spirit, continue to work within us to lessen the hold of sin, of evil, of wrong ideas, false beliefs, fanatical doctrines. Break their hold upon us and remove these from us and consume sin out of us, that we may indeed live the new life in Christ and allow the old life to be crucified, dead, and buried. Dear Spirit, please quicken our understanding that we might indeed behold wondrous things out of thy word. Convict us of the truth. Convert us to the truth. And allow us to walk in the truth. And thank you so much for doing so. We also have some prayer requests, dear Father, that we bring before thy throne. I pray that you will be with our dear sister Petwa, that she is fighting an infection, and that you will help her to be healed quickly, according to thy perfect will. We also pray for Paula, that you will help her to understand her need of thee. And please help her with thy wisdom to work through the difficulties in her life. And we thank you so much for helping her in this. We also have several silent prayer requests, and you know each one. You know the needs of each petitioner, and you know exactly how to help them and deliver them, and we thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for Dave, that he will continue to be healed and that he will get back to normal. His mobility will be back, and thank you so much for helping him through the surgery and allowing everything to go well. And Father, all the other prayers that have been asked in this room and by thy people all around the world, we praise thy holy name for hearing each one and answering each one according to thy perfect will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, the sermon for today is part two of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And the quotes that I'll be referring to can be found at our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1408.htm. So the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, part two. Now last time we understood that this eighth commandment of God's law is found in both the Old and the New Testaments. And this fact proves to us that it was not nailed to the cross, but it is still in force today. Last time we also discovered that stealing is not just limited to the actual theft of another person's possessions, but includes all areas affecting another and even affecting ourselves. We learned that this eighth commandment also forbids deception, or the stealing away of the truth from another by stealth. We then discovered that there are at least five major areas where we can steal from or deceive. And these five were: from the world, from one another, from the messengers or workers or ministers of the Lord God. The fourth was from ourselves, and the fifth was from God. And last time we investigated into the first four of these five major areas, and we learned many of the different ways we can be involved in breaking this eighth commandment and thereby committing sin. But today we'll be investigating into this fifth and last area and discover how we can steal from or deceive God. Now, if you look at quote number one, how can we steal from or deceive God? I find that there is at least three main areas. The first is not giving tithes. The second is not giving offerings. And the third is not serving God. So let's look at the first, not giving tithes. Now, a tithe is 10% of anything of value. And in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32, we're told, "And concerning the tithe, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." So a tithe is a tenth part of the whole, and this tithe is to be taken out from any increase of value which has come to us. Now, this increase of value can occur by getting paid for our work that we've done at our job, or through an increase in produce from our gardens or fields or lands, or from an inheritance, or from interest being paid to us. Basically, anything that comes to us and that increases our worth from the day before. And this increase is to be tithed. And a full 10% of this increase is to be set aside and considered holy or sacred and then given to God. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, we're told, "Thou shalt surely tithe all the increase." In Leviticus 27, verse 30, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." If you look at quote number two, "Since the sacred tithe money is given to God, then it becomes His sacred money to be used according to His directions and not how we think it should be used." In other words, it becomes God's money, no longer our own. So then how can we steal from God in this area of tithes? Well, by not giving God a full 10% of all your increase. If you do this, then you are guilty of robbing God of part or all of this sacred money. We're told in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" God then answers, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God then says, in tithes. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. So then this clearly reveals to us that if we are not giving to God a full 10% of all our increase, then we are robbing God, and we will not receive his blessings but his cursings. So if you're wondering why different negative things are affecting your prosperity, or why things are always breaking down and in need of repair, or perhaps why you never seem to be able to get ahead financially, or why God doesn't hear or answer your earnest prayers, then the reason why may be because you are under God's curse instead of his blessings for not giving him a full tithe, and thus you are stealing his sacred money. If you look in quote number 3, now, in addition to this, if you are indeed giving a full 10% of all your increase to God, but yet you are either using this tithe money in areas where it should not be used, or are sending it where it should not go, then you are also guilty of robbing God of this sacred money. In this case, you could be paying a full tithe, but yet would be still guilty of stealing from God because of misusing or misapplying this sacred money. So then, as none of us want to live under the curse of God and thus risk losing eternal life by sinfully stealing from him and breaking this eighth commandment, then where is God's sacred tithe money supposed to go and be used for? Now, the first biblical recorded instance of tithe paying was with Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. But who was Melchizedek? In Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20, we're told, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, or Abraham, gave him tithes of all. And then in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 525. From the earliest times, the Lord claimed a tithe as his, and this claim was recognized and honored. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. So we see here that Abraham directly gave tithes of all his increase to the priest of the Most High God, and Melchizedek then used this money for his support and for his continued ministry work for God. But if you notice, inspiration stated that it was from the earliest times that the Lord has claimed a tithe as his. So then this means that Abraham, who lived after the flood, was not really the first to pay tithes. Can you guess who was the first? In Testimonies, Volume 3, on page 393. The tithing system reaches back beyond the days of Moses. Men were required to offer to God gifts for religious purposes before the definite system was given to Moses, even as far back as the days of Adam. So the truth that God has claimed a tenth part of all our increase to be given back to him was first taught to Adam, and then from Adam to all of God's followers, both before the flood and after. So Abraham was not the first to pay tithes, and neither was he the last. After the time of Abraham, the next recorded instance of God's followers paying tithe was with Jacob in Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So Jacob gave God the tenth of all his increase. And after Jacob, the next recorded instance of tithe paying is with the Israelites. In Leviticus 18, verses 24 to 26. "But the tithes of the children of Israel I have given to the Levites to inherit. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance." So all the Israelites gave to the Lord a tithe of all their increase, and then obeyed his specific directions to give his sacred tithe directly to the Levites. But who were the Levites? In Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 and 5, "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi, the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever." In Deuteronomy 18, verse 21, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve me, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." In Leviticus 10, verses 8 through 11, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron the priest, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them." And then in Ezekiel 44, verses 23 to 24, "And they," the priests, "shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." So the Levites were the priests or the ministers or the workers of God, and their full-time ministry work was directly connected with God's sanctuary or his church. And their duty was to serve and obey the Lord themselves, and then to minister unto the people, and especially to teach them God's law, his will, and his truth. These priests were also to be health reformers by refusing to partake of anything that was unholy or unclean and thus was harmful to their mind, body, or health. So this meant that it was by their lives as well as by their messages that they were to show the people the difference between that which was holy and pleasing to God versus that which was profane and displeasing to God. And because of this, God commanded all the Israelites to give their tithes to the Levites as their inheritance. And these Levites were totally dependent upon these tithes for the support of them and their family, as well as for their continued ministry in the work of God. Now, if you look at quote number 4. But tithe paying was not limited to only God's followers who lived during the time of the Old Covenant, but it is also required of God's followers who live in this New Covenant. In the time of the apostles, Paul states this about God's tithe in this New Covenant. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 3, 7 to 8, 11, 13, and 14, mine answer to them that examine me is this: who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In Acts of the Apostles on page 336. It was of this plan for the support of the ministry that Paul referred when he said, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And later, in writing to Timothy, the apostle said, the laborer is worthy of his reward. And dear ones, it hasn't changed today. God still requires his followers to give tithes to his living ministers. In Review and Herald, December 1, 1896. The tithe is set apart for a special use. It is to be especially devoted to the support of those who are bearing God's message to the world, and it should not be diverted from this purpose. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, page 189. God's ministers are his shepherds, appointed by him to feed his flock. The tithe is his provision for their maintenance, and he designs that it shall be held sacred for this purpose. In Testimonies, Volume 9, on page 248. A great mistake is made when the tithe is drawn from the object for which it is to be used, the support of the ministers. So the ministers in the work of God today are to be supported and maintained with the sacred tithes of God. That is God's will and stated purpose. But now, are there other areas that God has specified that his sacred tithe can be given to and used for? You look at quote number 5. Tithe can also be given to and used for ministers who are also medical missionaries. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 14, page 269 to 271. A gospel minister will be twice as successful in his work if he understands how to treat disease. Continually increasing light has been given me on this subject. Some, who do not see the advantage of educating the youth to be physicians both of mind and body, say that the tithes should not be used to support medical missionaries who devote their time to treating the sick. In response to such statements as these, I am instructed to say that the mind must not become so narrowed down that it cannot take in the truth of the situation. A minister of the gospel who is also a medical missionary, who can cure physical ailments, is a much more efficient worker than one who cannot do this. His work as a minister of the gospel is much more complete. Doors that have been closed to him who merely preaches the gospel will be opened to the intelligent medical missionary. God works today to reach hearts in the same way that he worked when Christ was upon the earth. In reading the Word of God, we see that Christ brought medical missionary work into his ministry. Cannot we understand the commission he gave to his disciples and to us? So ministers who are medical missionaries can be given tithe. If you look at quote number 6, also ministers who are school teachers can be supported by tithe. In Testimonies, Volume 6, page 134 to 135. The best ministerial talent should be employed in teaching the Bible in our schools. Those selected for this work need to be thorough Bible students and to have a deep Christian experience, and their salary should be paid from the tithe. You look at quote number 7. Also, ministers who are missionaries can be supported with tithe. In Testimonies, Volume 9, page 52. Instruction has been given me that there is a withholding of the tithe that should be faithfully brought into the Lord's treasury for the support of the ministers and missionaries who are opening the scriptures to the people and working from house to house. Tithe can also be given to ministers' wives as well as other women that minister. If you look at quote number 8. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, page 263. Women as well as men are needed in the work that must be done. Those women who give themselves to the service of the Lord, who labor for the salvation of others by doing house-to-house work, which is as taxing as and more taxing than standing before a congregation, should receive payment for their labor. If a man is worthy of his hire, so also is a woman. The tithe should go to those who labor in word and doctrine, be they men or women. Also, the widows of ministers can be supported with tithe if necessary. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, page 189, the widows of these ministers are never to be forgotten, but should, if necessary, be paid from the tithe. And I believe one of the reasons why this should be done is because if it wasn't for the wife taking care of the family and the home, then the minister would not have been able to do as much work as he was able to do. So in a way, the wife ministered with her husband by allowing him to have the extra time to work for the Lord. So if the husband, if the minister should pass away, then she, his widow, should also receive tithes if necessary for her support. But there's also another place that God's tithes can be given to. And this is to God's institutions, whether churches, schools, publishing houses, or missions. We're told in Testimonies, Volume 4, page 464. Institutions that are God's instruments to carry forward his work on the earth must be sustained. Churches must be erected, schools established, and publishing houses furnished with facilities for doing a great work in the publication of the truth to be sent to all parts of the world. These institutions are ordained of God and should be sustained by tithes and liberal offerings. Now, if you look at quote number 11, As these testimonies have clearly pointed out, God's sacred tithe is to be used mainly for the support of His ministers who are preaching the full present truth message, be they men or women. But if you are not sending these devoted full-time ministers God's tithe, but are using or sending the tithe elsewhere, then you are guilty of robbing God, you are guilty of robbing these ministers and workers for God, and you are also guilty of robbing others who may be dying for the want of present truth. In Testimonies, Volume 6, on page 387, the tithe you have withheld, I reserve for the support of my servants in their work of opening the Scriptures to those who are in the regions of darkness who do not understand my law. In using my reserve fund to gratify your own desires, you have robbed souls of the light which I made provision for them to receive. You have had opportunity to show loyalty to me, but you have not done this. You have robbed me. You have stolen my reserve fund. If you look at quote number 12, if all the tithes were faithfully given where God has specified these should go, then there would be many ministers of the gospel busy spreading God's present truth far and wide, and the work could speedily close. But dear ones, this is sadly not the case, and as a result, there are but few ministers doing God's work when there should be hundreds. And those who are already in God's work become discouraged or are forced to stop their God-giving ministry because of the lack of money. And so then God's work is left undone because these have to go and find other employment which wish to support their families and to keep from starving. And this is indeed true today. We're told in Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, on page 138, the tithe is to be used for one purpose, to sustain the ministers whom the Lord has appointed to do His work. It is to be used to support those who speak the words of life to the people and carry the burden of the flock of God. But there are ministers who have been robbed of their wages. God's provision for them has not been respected. A very plain, definite message has been given to me to give to our people. I am bidden to tell them that they are making a mistake in applying the tithe to various objects which, though good in themselves, are not the objects to which the Lord has said that the tithe is to be applied. Those who make this use of the tithe are departing from the Lord's arrangement. God will judge for these things. A great mistake is made when the tithe is drawn from the object for which it is to be used, the support of the ministers. The use of the tithe must be looked upon as a sacred matter by our people. We must guard strictly against all that is contrary to the message now given. When a man enters the ministry, he is to be paid from the tithe enough to sustain his family. He is not to feel that he is a beggar. The impression is becoming quite common that the sacred disposition of the tithe no longer exists. Many have lost their sense of the Lord's requirements. The tithe is sacred, reserved by God for Himself. It is to be used to sustain the gospel laborers in their work. For a long time, the Lord has been robbed because there are those who do not realize that the tithe is God's reserve portion. Many ministers are lying in their graves, brought there by sorrow and disappointment and by the hardship brought upon them because they did not receive sufficient for their labors. The tithe is the Lord's, and those who meddle with it will be punished with the loss of their heavenly treasure unless they repent. So if we're misusing or misapplying God's tithe, or perhaps we're not paying a full 10% of the tithe, then we are breaking this eighth commandment. We are stealing from God and committing sin. And if we don't change, then we will lose heaven unless we repent. Continuing, let the work no longer be hedged up because the tithe has been diverted into various channels other than the one to which the Lord has said it should go. Provision is to be made for these other lines of work. They are to be sustained, but not from the tithe. God has not changed. The tithe is still to be used for the support of the ministry. We're also told in Acts of the Apostles on page 340 to 341. God's chosen messengers who are engaged in aggressive labor should never be compelled to go a warfare at their own charges, unaided by the sympathetic and hearty support of their brethren. It is the part of church members to deal liberally with those who lay aside their secular employment that they may give themselves to the ministry. When God's ministers are encouraged, his cause is greatly advanced. But when, through the selfishness of men, their rightful support is withheld, their hands are weakened, and often their usefulness is seriously crippled. The displeasure of God is kindled against those who claim to be his followers, yet allow consecrated workers to suffer for the necessities of life while engaged in active ministry. These selfish ones will be called to render an account, not only for the misuse of their Lord's money, but for the depression and heartache which their course has brought upon his faithful servants. Those who are called in God's service should receive for their self-sacrificing efforts wages sufficient to support themselves and their families. And then the last quote is found in Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, page 184 to 185. It is a mistake for our churches to appropriate the tithe for any other purpose than to sustain the ministry. The Lord will not work in your favor if you do this. Remember, you will not be blessed, but cursed if you rob God. The Lord will not work in your favor if you do this. When this matter is seen and realized in all its bearings, there will be no questions on this subject. Every soul who is honored in being a steward of God is to carefully guard the tithe money. This is sacred means. The Lord will not sanction your borrowing this money for any other work. It will create evils you cannot now discern. It is not to be meddled with. Keep your hands off the Lord's reserve fund. That means is to do a great work before probation shall close. So, dear ones, where is tithe to go to? What is it to be devoted for? Only the ministers of the gospel in their various lines of labor, such as medical missionaries or being school teachers, etc., and also God's institutions, such as publishing houses, schools, and missions. Or in other words, The tithe is to be given to those ministers or agencies who are actively getting God's precious present truths out to others. They're the only ones that are to be supported with God's sacred tithes. And so if you know this, then it becomes easy to discern all the other areas that are not to be supported with God's tithe. So then where is God's sacred tithes not supposed to go to and be used for? And this is what we'll learn next time. So, dear ones, may God help us to clearly understand this matter in all its bearings. Let us no longer be guilty of robbing God by misusing or misapplying his tithes, or by not paying a full 10% to God. May we indeed apply and send the tithe to his full-time ministers and workers, so that indeed a mighty work can be done before probation shall close. And this is my prayer. Our closing song for today's service is called Come All Christians. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1946.htm. Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for him more fitted, turn your hearts with one accord. Come into his courts with gladness, each his sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew. Of your time and talents give ye, they are gifts from God above, to be used by Christians freely to proclaim his wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior, tithes and offerings with you bring. In your work with him find favor, and with joy his praises sing. God commands to love each other, is required of everyone. Showing mercy to one another proves conversion has begun. In compassion he has given of his love that is divine. On the cross sins were forgiven, joy and peace are fully thine. Come in praise and adoration, all who in Christ's name believe. Worship him with consecration, grace and love you will receive. For his grace give him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story, till mankind his name has heard. May we please bow our heads and our knees for closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your graciousness, for your long-suffering, for your merciful kindness, and for winking at the times of our ignorance. Father, I plead with thee that you will please forgive us for every time that we have failed to pay you your sacred 10%. Forgive us for all the areas that we have misapplied or perhaps misused this sacred money in. And please help us to turn about to indeed pay full 10% of all our increase, to set that sacred money aside, and then look to you for directions on who to send it to, who to support, who to encourage in thy full-time ministerial work of spreading the gospel. And thank you so much for directing us in this matter. Father, we thank you for being here with us, and we pray that you will continue to dwell with us, to grace us, to edify and uplift us as we enter into our after-church service. And thank you so very much for indeed pouring out upon each listening heart your Spirit to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Help us to indeed avoid committing sin by breaking this eighth commandment in any area. Help us to indeed further the work of the gospel spreading around the world until the earth is filled with thy glory, probation closes, and Christ then comes to take us as well as all the rest of the faithful redeemed throughout the ages home to forevermore be with him. Thank you so much for allowing us to play a part and to have a part in this great work in these last days. Help us to be faithful. And help us to remain hid in Jesus so that we might indeed receive life and not be destroyed with sin by the brightness of his coming. Thank you for hearing and answering these prayers. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, dear ones, are there any questions or comments, any thoughts, any songs, or anything else that you would like to bring forth before your fellow brothers and sisters and listeners here? And please feel free to do so now. There's a question in the room. It says, do you have to pay tithe on a present that someone buys you from a thrift store? And I would have to say yes, because that is an increase of value that was not yours the day before. So, you know, that brings up a whole nother issue of what is considered of value. And anything that is of value that comes to us, whether it's a result of our own labors or whether it's a result of God's blessings, or even if it's a gift that is given to you, then it becomes an area where it can be tithed. It is an increase. Now, response comes up, what if you don't like the gift that was given to you? Well, you can always donate it to somewhere else. But if you decide to keep it, then that is an increase of value that needs to be tithed. And it's true, you can re-gift it. You can then turn around and give it to someone else. That is true. But it opens up a whole other area on where God's requirements are with each one of us and what our responsibilities are to God. And so thank you for your question. It is definitely something to think about and to go to God on and see how He impresses us. But I would say that it is an increase of value that was not yours the day before, even though that value may not be as much in your estimation as it was in the person who got it for you. But, you know, say for instance, someone gives you a present and you know the value of it because you can see that it's in the gift stores for $20 or so. So then you know how much value that gift is and how much tithe you need to set aside for keeping that gift. But let's say something is given to you and you have no idea what the value is. I would be inclined to value it more than what I think it's worth just to make sure that I'm giving to God a full 10% of the increase with that item. And you can never outgive God. If you've given more to Him in tithe than what the increase of value was, God is going to repay that back to you in blessings. But if you short Him, if you don't pay a full 10% of tithe, then you're risking His curses, the lack of His blessings. And so it's not worth it. In some cases, you're talking about just pennies or maybe even dollars. And so it's not worth it. Anyway, I think you get the point. Amen, amen. The principle is what you give to others shall be returned unto you. If someone comes to you and buys grain or flour, and you give them a package that's very loosely packed and charge him a certain amount versus giving to them a package that is so compacted with grain or flour that it just can't hold anything more for the same amount, then God will also give you an overabundance in blessings compared to just the minimum that you need to get by. So that is very true, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts or questions or comments, dear ones? Any songs that you'd like to sing? Any testimonies that you're impressed to give? And please feel free to do so now.
I'd like to share a scripture thought that was just meaning a second ago. It was coming in my head. It's called, I'll sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for He is good. The horse and its rider, they have rolled into the sea. The horse and its rider, they have rolled into the sea. And splash, the waves have crashed down on Pharaoh in a the horse and its rider rolled into the sea. I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord, oh, I will sing to the Lord, for He is good. The Lord is my strength and my song, I praise His name. The Lord is my strength and my song that praises his name. Praise, praise, or I will praise. I will praise him on my days. The Lord forever is my strength and song. I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, I will sing to the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. And thank you, brother. And that's a particular tune I hadn't heard before in connection with that verse in Exodus 15. So, again, thank you, dear brother. Are there any other songs or questions or comments? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we close for today? Please feel free to do so at this time. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for fellowshipping together and to, in union with the rest of us, worship our God in spirit and in truth today. I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead and guide, to continue to uplift you and to edify you and encourage you to advance upward and onward. That Jesus will continue to be an abiding guest to rule in your hearts, that you will learn how to rest more and more in his love, and that the Holy Spirit will continue to work within you to consume sin and to fill you with the knowledge of God, with the divine grace and strength to come up ever higher and to become one of the 144,000 according to God's will. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn that's called Day by Day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. So dear ones, may God be with each one. May He continue to lead you day by day, moment by moment.